This week's podcast is another in my continuing series of conversations with people I used to know back in Summerstock days in New Hampshire. People who, in the case of playwright Jacques Lamar, have gone on to make quite a career for themselves in the arts, even though you started as a lowly box office manager in New Hampshire.
Well, I actually started off as an ice cream scooper at Hayward Farms in Milford, New Hampshire. And then my brother said he didn't want to work at the stage festival anymore, and I said, I'll take your job. And I was a lowly box office part-timer, and then became a full-timer, and then became a box office manager.
And the rest is history.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 389, Jacques Lamar's Journey. Long-time listeners will know that in the mid to late 80s, I was the Associate Artistic Director of the American Stage Festival in Milford, New Hampshire, where one of my many duties was running the intern program and overseeing the artistic direction of the Young Company, ASF's Children's Theater Program. That's when Jacques Lamar walked into my life. Well, actually, he sat in the box office in my life. And since our time together, he has become a successful playwright whose most recent play, I Loved, I Lost, I Made Spaghetti, is being produced around the country, including at our old stomping ground at the Shelter House Theater at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park this October 2014. Jacques' path to becoming a playwright was not a typical one, and when he was in Chicago recently, he was gracious enough to sit down with me and tell me the details of his fascinating journey.
When did you know that you wanted to be a playwright, or did you always know?
Well, when I was working at the stage festival, and the Young Company was having to crank out original scripts every summer.
That's right.
You gave me my start. I don't know if you remember this.
Thank you.
You gave me my start as a playwright. I came to you and said, would you let me write one for you?
I do remember that because I desperately went, yes, please.
You had to do like 6 to 8 original scripts every summer, I believe, because the theater didn't want to pay a playwright. So they had you do it.
Right. They didn't want to pay any royalties for an existing play, so we had to create our own. So it was great because they were sort of a little bit company created, but they all started from a text base, from a script place. And yes, you wrote, I believe what it remains, the definitive interpretation of Rapunzel.
Indeed. Well, actually, the first thing that I wrote for you to prove that I could write a play was a musical rendering of 3 O. Henry short stories that you came back and said, thank you, no, but I'll let you write Rapunzel. So I believe
I questioned the commercial viability of a musical versions of O. Henry stories for 5-year-olds.
Exactly. Although they were very cute, but probably not meant to be musicalized.
Right, exactly.
By someone who had never written music before. And so I did do the definitive Rapunzel, which was brought back. It was later revived.
Yes, it was. Big hit. You kidding?
It was toured initially, and then it was revived, and then it was illegally produced out of state.
And right, and lawsuits are still pending. But from the heady success of Children's Theater in New Hampshire,
yes,
you made what I thought was a really great next career move. You went to divinity school at the Vatican. Do I have that right?
Yes. I graduated from Providence College in 1990. My next career move was I decided, even though I knew I was going to go into the priesthood, that I was going to take a year off and work.
Okay.
And see what it was like to have, quote unquote, a real job.
Right.
So I sent one resume out. It was to Hartford Stage, because my college roommate lived in the Hartford area.
Right.
And I got hired because they had just fired their entire box office staff.
Right.
And so I went and worked at Hartford Stage under Mark Lamos for a year. And then in 1991 went over to Rome.
To Rome to join the seminary. And while you were in the seminary at the Vatican, I mean, not just the seminary anyway. People go, oh, I went to the seminary, spent a couple of years in the seminary. You were at the seminary at the Vatican. That's like the home office.
You know?
It was the Cadillac of seminaries, yes.
It was the Cadillac of seminaries. And you wrote kind of your variety show entertainments for the Divinity School, right?
Yeah, I was, for a few different occasions, I would write comedy material. Some might have thought it a little risque for the venue. I will never forget, I was asked to write like a Saturday Night Live type weekend update sketch. And I did like a joke about Bosnia right when that war was going on. And I learned something about the proximity of Italy to Bosnia.
Oh, interesting.
So, yes. So,
comedy is tragedy plus time, and time had not really...
Exactly. It was too soon.
Too soon, as they say. But you were... I remember asking you in summer of 92, when I was playing the Arts Theater with the Rudyard Shakespeare Company, and you came and stayed with me, and I said, so how many of your fellow students there in the seminary at the Vatican are running from their sexuality? And you said, like, 95%.
I think it was a little lower than that. It was probably like 70 or 80.
Okay.
But still a higher than average. Hopefully they're not listening. And it's funny because I knew that I was gay before going into the seminary, but I hadn't really addressed it or talked to anyone about it. And that's actually one of the things that made the stage festival a great job, was just being around so many people who are much more comfortable with their sexuality than I was.
Right.
Even in New Hampshire, even in the late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah. And so it was,
we were all comfortable with your gayness.
Thank you.
I still haven't figured out my own.
Well, it's all like the whole stage management office is all lesbians, so that was my first encounter with lesbians, and we would all go skinny dipping. So at the quarry in Milford, so that was my first boy watching. I never saw you naked, and I still haven't to this day.
We were never up there at the same time because I was definitely naked up there. There's an image.
I never went naked up there. I was too prudish. Anyway, so there were a lot of gay men there. It was a very weird situation because you could see relationships and hookups happening, and you couldn't talk about it.
Right.
Oh. What happened?
But I said it as a joke. Did you go into the seminary thinking you wanted to be a priest, or thinking that's something I can do where I won't have to think about my sexuality?
No, I really felt like I could be a priest,
You come from a very large Catholic family. That's a big part of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm one of 10 kids, and we were all raised Catholic. My mom was literally almost raised by nuns. Some people are raised by wolves. My mom was raised by nuns. And so it was very, it was a difficult decision to decide to drop out of the seminary, but I came to the realization in my second year that all of the good things about being a priest I could do without being a priest. And the one thing that I wanted to do, boys, was something I couldn't do as a priest. Not boys, men. I should correct that.
Yeah.
So, it was in many ways an unhealthy environment for me. So
I remember, when Dee and I, right around the time that Dee and I were married, her uncle is a lay deacon, and he actually performed the ceremony. He married us, and he had a young friend who was about to become a priest, and they were asking, the kids were asking them, why did he do what he did? And he said he had a calling. And then they were asking me, why do I do what I do in the theater? And before I could answer, Dee said, because he has a calling. I mean, we are both drawn to this work in the arts because for the same reason I think people want to be priests. It's like what we do. It's what we should be doing.
Yeah, and I think also, I think you and I both enjoy an irreverent sense of humor, which isn't entirely welcome in the irreverent Catholic Church.
Although Pope Frankie right now, the new guy, he seems like he's got it going on.
You know, he does, I think, but it's going to be up to a point, I think.
Right.
I think I like the fact that he's just like, everyone needs to relax.
Right, right.
You know, I love that about him.
Yeah.
I think for people who are looking for him to make giant doctrinal changes, I'm not sure that's going to happen. Right.
I'm Howard Sherman, noted theatrical pundit and raconteur, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? From May 27th to June 28th, 2014, we'll be doing a reduced mini tour of the UK with the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, doing 20 shows in 30 days, all of them on the ground this time, not at 37,000 feet. Then in the last week of July 2014, we will return to the San Jose Repertory Theater in Northern California to perform The Complete History of Comedy Abridged for a week. Then, as we talked about last week, we'll return to Edinburgh for the month of August 2014 to perform the European premiere of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
You left the seminary, you came back to the real world, and you continued to write plays, and your next big success that I'm aware of is writing for a drag queen.
Well, actually I didn't write anything after I had written other than the skits in the seminary. I didn't write anything since Pied Piper of Hamelin for the American Stage Festival in the 80s.
Okay.
And so, or no, early 90s, I think, maybe. It was in the early 2000s. I hadn't written anything in over 10 years. And I met this drag performer, Varla Jean Merman, who came to work at Hartford Stage, where I was the marketing director. And we realized that we had the same kind of unfortunate sense of humor, and she asked me to help write her show, and I said, that's really great. I said, you don't already have a writing partner? And she said, no, I stopped working with this guy. And I said, why did you stop working with him? And she said, he's crazy. You remind me of him.
Oh, good.
And so I said, thank you. So we wrote our first show in 2004. It was called Girl with a Pearl Necklace, and we're currently working on our 11th show right now.
Titled still to be decided.
Yes, titled TBA.
And so you've done that for a while, but you've branched out now into, I say legitimate in air quotes, full length plays. Have you been dying to write longer, more, again in air quotes, legitimate stuff?
Well, you know, I started out actually with, after a certain amount of time writing for Varla, I wanted to be able to do my own material, because everything that I write with Varla was going to be performed by Varla, and really ultimately comes down to her decisions and choices on stage. And so I started out writing, I said I'm going to sit down and write a short play and submit it for a competition, and it was a play called Stool. It was selected for this theater festival in Connecticut, and then it went to the New York 15-Minute Play Festival and made it to the top 10 out of like 300 plays.
Wow.
And so I was really blown away that, this first attempt to write something for grown-ups that, and to be performed by women with real vaginas, was so well met.
Right.
And then an actor from Chicago actually asked me to write a piece for her. She wanted me to write this one-woman show about an empowering kind of story that she heard. She told me the story. I went away. I came back with a four-person comedy based on her story. She never did it, but I submitted it to the Midtown International Theater Festival, and it was performed in Manhattan and then did two runs and short runs in Connecticut with a group called the Emerson Theater Collaborative. And so all of a sudden, I was very cocky. I had a short play that was had won awards, and the second play was nominated for Best Playwriting. And so it just kind of has taken off from there.
And this, the latest piece that you're doing, it's kind of blowing my mind how similar we are. We both got our playwriting start doing children's theater. We both have written for men who play women. And I've been, my play has been produced at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, and you're about to be produced at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park with your latest play, I Loved,
I Lost, I Made Spaghetti.
Which is an adaptation of a memoir.
Yeah, by Julia Malucci, and it's a food-related memoir that takes you through her rotten love life and her failed relationships. And basically what
as she cooks a meal.
Yeah, well, what I did was I conceived that her story would be told as a four-course meal.
Oh, cool.
And that, you know, basically, as she was telling about these boyfriends, each boyfriend would be a course in the meal. And she makes an entire spaghetti dinner from scratch. Sauce, pasta, salad, antipasto.
Every night.
Every night. And so it was done at the Theater Works in Hartford. And then it just closed around at George Street Playhouse. It's going to Oslo Repertory Theater and then Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park.
And how did you get the idea to do this? Did the author of the book approach you? Did you approach the author?
I approached her. I was at a dinner party for a publicist, a book publicist, and I saw the book on his coffee table. And I said, is this book any good? I've never heard of it. He said, you should ask her. She wrote it.
Oh.
And I went over and introduced myself, you know, just to say hi and congratulations because the book had just come out. And I went home and ordered it on Amazon, and I was in there reading it and saying, you know, this could be really fun. It could be a really fun evening of theater. And it kind of combines two things that people love to talk about food, and people love to talk about relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's got a lot of humor in it, which is really great, but it's also got a little pathos too, which is foreign to me, but I was able to pull from the book.
You mean genuine feeling?
Yes, exactly.
Right. Not masked by irreverent humor?
Yes.
Again, another thing that you and I have in common.
Indeed we do. Yeah. Indeed we do.
So what's next? Are you got several things in the hopper?
Yeah, well, I have two readings coming up. One's a new play called The Binder. It's going to be a reading done in May in the Hartford area, and it's about this woman who finally gets engaged, has been planning in her mind her dream wedding and how that all unravels for her. And then a play that I wrote about Franklin Pierce and his wife, First Lady Jane Pierce, as a reading at the Pierce Homestead up in Concord, New Hampshire in September. So that's another thing that's happening.
And more shows with Varla Jean Merman?
Yep, we're working on our 11th show right now. It's going to be running in Provincetown this summer. So
awesome.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your interesting journey via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to Webmaster Matt Rippey, former drag queen Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Anne Griggs. No reason, it's just random, but I'm amazed I haven't shouted out to her before. Special thanks to Howard Sherman, former host of the Downstage Center podcast and, in the small world department, a former colleague of Jacques at the Hartford Stage Company. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 389/1167 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And to think it all started with children's theater.
Indeed, I owe it all to you, Austin.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.